Rabbeisai, we learn now about this whole deal between Achav and Elio Hanovi. Vahi kirois Achav es Elio. When Achav sees Elio Hanovi, he calls him Oichel Yisrael. Can you imagine? He calls Elio Hanovi Oichel Yisrael. And of course, Elio Hanovi tells him, you're the one who destroyed Klal Yisrael. Now he tells him like this, he makes a deal. He says, get all of your Nevi'im, your 450 Nevi'i Abal, false Nevi'im, Nevi'i Shekel, and let's try to verify the truth. Anyway, so they all meet up. They all come to Har HaKarmel, and this goes down as the famous story in history where Elio Hanovi proves that the Rabbanei Shel Olam, the Torah Emes, the Nevi'im HaShekel, Nevi'im Baal HaShekel. But before he does that, because obviously this is going to be a big thing here, what's going on here. The Rambam talks about this. Because normally a Novi can't be oiker something from the Torah. Novi can't uproot something from the Torah. So the Rambam makes very strict conditions what a Novi can do. I mean, there are three main conditions. If a Novi comes and he says to go against the Torah, if he comes and he uproots a mitzvah, it's gone. We don't accept it. That would be a sign that he's a Novi Sheker. If a Novi comes, he says, you know, from now on, no more mitzvahs film. Any mitzvahs I say. Any diktuk seifrim. The Novi Sheker. That's number one. So whatever the Novi tells you to do against the Torah has to be a temporary, exclusionary act. The Novi could say, right now, today, Hashem said to do this. So number one, it has to be Arai. Can't be an Akira. Can't be a complete uprooting of a mitzvah. Number two, can't have anything to do with Avodah Zarah, even temporary. And number three, he has to be Muchzik B'Nevius. He has to be Muchzik as a Novi Emes. Those conditions have to be met before we even come to the table. But obviously, it is extremely rare, very rare, and every possible measure is done to avoid this conclusion, to do such a thing. So Elio Hanovi is about now to be Matir Shchut Echut. The Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis Rishon, was still standing. As long as the Beis HaMikdash is standing, you're not allowed to bring a korban bachutz. You're not allowed to bring a korban from outside the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to bring a korban outside the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to offer it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Elio Hanovi here on Har HaKarmel, he brought a korban, went against the mitzvah of Shchut Echut. Elio Hanovi permitted it here in order to accomplish what he had to accomplish. So his introduction, before he does this grave act that he obviously would want to do anything but, he gives a little introduction. Vayomer, and Elio Hanovi tells all the people assembled. And this becomes a historic statement because we use this all the time. Ad Mosai atem poischim al shnei asifim. How long are you going to be poiseach on two sifim? Im Hashem Elokim luchu acharov. Vim Abal luchu acharov. He told the people, decide, what's your position? To believe in Hashem, and therefore you should be following myself? Or do you believe the Baal? If you believe in the Baal, tell me now that that's what you believe in. V'loi onu ha'om oisoi domo. They didn't answer. Couldn't answer. But Elio Hanovi himself states, Admosai atem poischim al beis asifim. Elianovi sees, again, because till Elianovi said that, I wouldn't have said, Admosai atem poischim al beis asifim. It sounded to me that they were going after the Baal. From everything we learned, it sounds like Achav has unfortunately succeeded in pushing the people after the Baal. The Baal. Chazal say it was a door of Oivdei Avodah Zarah. But Eliyahu HaNavi is saying no. Eliyahu HaNavi is saying, Ad Mosai Atem Poischem Al Beis HaSifim. Eliyahu HaNavi sees it differently. So he says, tell me. V'loi Onu Ha'om Oiseidom. They couldn't answer. And then he gives them the whole Moshe Shmuz. Hayem Aleim Ani Noisalti Levadi Novi LaHashem. And he gives them the whole Shmuz. Take two carbonas and let the Nevi'a Baal try to bring theirs, and I'll bring mine. And the end will be, we'll see who is real. Let the Nevi'a Baal try to get their God, their false God, to accept their offering. Nothing happened, obviously. And then I will. And obviously this is what happened. So here's the pella. It sounds like Eliyahu HaNavi is looking for a clear answer. I would feel very good by what Eliyahu HaNavi just said. Because I thought, from everything I learned till now, that Klal Yisrael were after the Baal. They were going after Avodah Zarah. Eliyahu HaNavi just made me feel so good. He gave me a therapy session. He said, no! It's not 100%. They're confused. It's blurry. I would have said, Baruch Hashem, so happy. I already felt so bad. I thought Achav Mamish succeeded in Mamish pulling them completely to Minus, completely against the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's not so bad. Now, the Anovi now is looking for one last ditch effort. Maybe he won't have to bring the Kochim b'chutz. What does he do? He says, tell me. Please, tell me. Either tell me you're after the Baal or tell me you're after the Rabbeinu Shalom. It sounds like from Eliyahu HaNavi that if they're going to tell him that they believe in the Baal, maybe he has an eitz. Because if after all, if Eliyahu HaNavi doesn't have an eitz anyway, what's he doing? He said, how long is this going to be like this? Then he jumps to the next phase. So actually, this is not my own diak. It's a diak made already by Kadmainim. Some actually say that was what the Navi told Rivka Imenu to make her feel better. When she was carrying two twins, not two twins, one set of twins, Yankif and Esav, and one kid was kicking to go by the base of the Zohar. The other kid was king by the base medrash. She didn't know it was two. Right? It was pre-sonogram tkufa. She thought it's just one. So she thought she has a kid kicking by a base medrash, kicking by the zohar. The Navi tells her, don't worry. Shnei goyim evitnech. Why did that make her feel better? Why in the world did that make her feel better? L'chayra, you would have said it's better if it was one kid. At least he has also, he likes the Beis Medrash and he likes the Beis Avodah Zarah. He's confused, Nebuch, but he's not a bad kid. Like this, the Navi's telling him, no, one is good and one is bad. Why would that make her feel better? Which Yiddish Mama would feel good if she had something like that? Imagine Yiddish Mama comes to her off today, she has bad feelings. She notices whenever she passes by a movie theater, it's a klaptach. She also noticed that when she goes to the Beis Medrash, she claps the chech. So imagine the Mekubal goes like this, he takes a couple of dollars from her, and he looks at the ksubi, tests the mezuzahs, and after he does everything, and some lead, they pour some lead, and red strings, and after the whole show, he tells her, okay, there's two boishik lachem. One is going to live in a movie theater, right? Sham Tei Menuchasa, and the other one is going to be in Beis Medrash, Yom Ha'Laila. Do you really think the woman is going to go, oh, Shkoyach, I'm so happy. Baruch Hashem. She'll be more disturbed than she was before. So what was the Navi telling her? So some want to say, ah, you see from Eliyahu HaNavi that it's worse to be Poseach HaBeis Asif. Eliyahu HaNavi was so worried. Ad Masa Atam Poseachim HaBeis Asif. Tell me either this way or tell me that way. Don't tell me a mixed up message. Bring a raya from here. But it's still unclear. Still unclear why the lack of clarity is so terrible. It's bad, but why is a lack of clarity worse than negative clarity? Lachora, negative clarity is also confusion. Right? If somebody says on something which is wrong, it's absolutely right, he's more confused. Right? No, it's basically saying, you know what? Confusion is worse than being not confused. What do you mean? If you're 100% sure that black is white, you're even more confused. Why are you called less confused? So Abay Sehef Shekim and Azazel. The Rambam brings down in Hilchos Tshuva, famous Rambam, Kishiyoshev Achoyte Mechete, when a person does Tshuva, Mitzvah is vadas. There's a mitzvah he should say vidui. And that's a mitzvah we know. There's a mitzvah called vidui. Many Rishonim stress vidui as the main component. I mean, the Rambam amongst them. The main component of tshuva. The Rambam says, doesn't say mitzvah to do tshuva. Kisha yoyshev achoyte mechete, mitzvah is vadas. But I'm not going to go into that point. My main point is, why is vidui so important? And it has to be bepeh. You have to say it. What do you have to say? Why is it enough to think it? Grada, Chavetz Chaim brings a raya that if you think in your heart, it's also a b'di'evedik avidui, even though the Rishonim say you have to be misvada bepeh, because the Gemara says in Kiddushin, if a guy is mechadish a woman, al menashani tzadik, and he turns out to be a rosha, right, we learned the sugya. It's good Kiddushin, k'shama hira, maybe he thought shuv in his heart, even though he didn't say it. But definitely the proper way to do vidui is you have to verbalize, this is what I did. What do you have to do that for? After all, if you're already having azivas achet, and you're already being makabel on the future to be a good boy, so what do you need to also verbalize? So stop verbalizing. Before your days, none of you were here those days except for Rabbi Volinsky and Rabbi Friedland and Chbez, from those back, going that far back. But I got a call in recent years from a Talmud that was in yeshiva, Rabbi Fol, in your days, thanking me, because I once, during a Novi Shir, I was talking about vidui, and this, and I gave Talmidim advice for when they're going to get married. It's funny to tell a guy when he's in 10th grade or 9th grade or 12th grade, but I don't mind. I tell a guy advice even now when he's going to get married. I say, you have to be able to say you're sorry. Omar mar lo'olam yulmad odem es l'shenei lo'imar, I'm sorry. Say you're sorry. It's hard to do. Because I say, most destroyed marriages that I've dealt with, they escalated out of control because one or both of the parties weren't able to, when they're wrong, say I'm wrong. When you say you're wrong, you take the air out of the balloon. When your wife says, hey, you go, then it's, Mechem is going to go. If your wife says, Baruch Hashem, I never fight with my wife. Baruch Hashem. Doesn't exist. And it's not because I'm so, such a tzaddik. Because my wife says something, I say, I'm sorry. Believe it or not, sometimes I come home late. Not always on time. My wife is, yeah, because she's on time. I say, I'm sorry. 2 hours late. I'm sorry. Lamaisa, I love her. She loves me. I say, I'm sorry. What's she going to kill me? I'm sorry. Chotasi, Avisi, Pashati. I'm sorry. That's the end of the fight. The end. But her, I'm late. Well, you know what I do? Do you do half of what I do? You have tinnitus that I'm late. Who supports this family? Then you opened up the door for Gehenna. Now you could go all the way to Gehenna. So this Talmud called me maybe 16 years after he heard the shiur when he was in high school. He's married with a family. He says, Rebbe, I'm calling you to thank you. Because Baruch Hashem, I have a great marriage. I can tell you the key to my marriage. I say, I'm sorry. I say, it sounds like you don't do everything right. He said, that's the key. The key to success. He remembered from those days. Key to success. Vidui is like this. Until a person says something, he doesn't really believe it. He doesn't really believe it. So he could say, you know, he could think, Taka, I did an avala. But as long as it's just like in his head, Taka, he didn't say, I did an avala. In his heart, he's still saying, Nishkefelch. Not so bad. It's not terrible. That's what he's thinking in his heart. So even though he could say, you know, in his heart, he could be thinking, you know, it's not good what I'm doing, and for the future, I want to change. The clarity is only when you identify it. Positive identification. And not a quasi-positive identification. Quasi means schwach. Schwach means weak. It means decisively, definitively, I did that. You'll see what I'm saying. Try it out, you'll see. One of the reasons why people have such a hard time saying, I'm sorry. I never have, why it's so hard. I'm sorry. The world didn't stop. I'm sorry. Everything but. You know why? Because till you say the words, I'm sorry, in yourself, you're still defending yourself. It's not so bad. Not so bad. But as long as you have so it's not so bad. The second you say, I'm sorry, that means you own something. You say, I did something and I'm wrong and I own it. Finished. I'm sorry is a conclusion. I own it. Not because maybe this, it really wasn't really that. That's it. That's why people don't like doing it. But once you do it, you tackle on it. You can only fix something if you own it. If you don't own it, you can't fix it. How can you fix something you don't own? How could you fix a bad mitzvah if you don't really think in your heart of hearts that you really have that bad mitzvah? What's going to make you fix it? I'm pretty much on time. Lewinsky tells me, I'm like, pretty much on time. So pretty much on time, you're not going to fix it. How can you fix something that you feel is, stickle, maybe. One of the milas with those petalach, those piskalach that you get, Baruch Hashem, he doesn't give me any. My shtender would be overloaded with them. But one of the milas, those piskalach, you get one of those, you say, okay, it is what it is. It is clear state. You own it. Once you own it, you own it. You own it. You should know in the legal system, the value that a judge gives to a criminal that gets up by a sentencing and could own what he did, say, I did this and this was wrong, and they see the person owns what they did, it's a whole different word. Why? They give much, potentially a much, much easier sentence. You know why? Because I once read about this. The likelihood of a criminal reliving the same crime again is like an abnormal number multiplied by somebody who doesn't own what they did. As long as they're standing there by the sentencing and they're going, the likelihood of them doing it again is much higher. If they get up by the sentencing, they're saying, Your Honor, I want to apologize for what I've done. I did a terrible thing. Now, there's a chance of this guy going out there and changing his life. Because he owned it. He owned it. Every little stupid thing in life is like that. If a person has a weight problem, he has obesity problem. So long that he could pass the mirror and he could go, that's it. He's just going to keep on blowing up. He's going to become Kitapuha Patsaya Yah. He's going to just blow up. When did I get into exercise? My wife was darshaning for me to exercise from the day we got married. Now I could do 6 miles a day, 7 miles a day I could run. I wasn't always like that. I used to take my car from my house to the shul. From 82 Forshay Road, I took my car to the shul. I drove to the shul. Not only that, I had an old Cadillac that couldn't drive when it was cold. So I would sit in the car in the morning and warm it up to go across the street. My wife would pass by and go, I should have been better. And I said, I'm sorry. She goes, Michael, me. So when did I stop? Yeah, I knew I have to do exercise. And now we moved into this building. Till then, we were in the trailers. It was one floor. We moved into this building. I started going from the gym. Sometimes walk downstairs to the gym, walk back upstairs. I came and said, one day I said, I'm going to kill myself. I was able to say, I'm going to kill myself, Chas v'Shalom, like this. Oh, I own the problem. That day, I started exercising. That day. The day that I came to the top of the steps, and I was, I felt half dead. And I was a young man. I used to be a young man. And I said, I'd come. I'm not doing this anymore. I own the problem. Till then, I said, exercise. It's not such a problem. It's a problem. As long as the people would have been able to own it, if they would have said, you know what? We're after the Baal. Eliyahu now could fix it, maybe. Without Shchutei Chutz. Without Shchutei Chutz. Because they own the problem. But instead, and it could be that that's why Achav himself gave confusing messages. Chivei v'satoyra, the same time he's going after Nevi HaBaal, he showed some love for the Sefer Torah. It was a shtickle challenge. Why did Achav give off a challenge? Because a challenge could stay like that at Sheyavoi Mashiach Tzidkenu. A challenge stays like that. If it's wrong, maybe you could own it. Maybe one day, maybe even though you don't chop today, it's wrong, but you chop, that's what you're doing. Then you could fix it. You can't own something that you don't even know you're doing. You don't even know you're doing it, Bechlan. That's what Eliyahu HaNavi said. Eliyahu HaNavi said, tell me, are you going after Hashem or not? They couldn't answer. Achav has successfully mixed them up to the degree that they couldn't even identify what they're doing. If you can't identify what you're doing, you can't fix it. Can't fix it. So Eliyahu HaNavi had to make an explosion. Shchutei Chutz. Like a nuclear explosion. Halachic nuclear explosion. Why? To wake them up. They have to see what's going on. And this is so important for us to chazer over in ourselves, to realize that in life you're going to see so often it's much more geschmack to leave it hanging. It's much more geschmack in life to leave things hanging. Because as long as you leave it hanging, you don't have to come to terms with it. I have a shtickle tefillah problem. I'm pretty good with davening. I'm not great. Whatever. Just leave it like that. It's perfect. I learn, I'm a shtickle into learning. I go to shiurim once in a while. I sometimes have to sit down with a baal bas and go, yeah, yeah, when do you go to shiurim? Let's sit down and let's make a cheshbon. Let's take a thing, make a cheshbon. I said this myself many times. I had a bocher came to my house for a fahel in eighth grade. This bocher was beguzma. He would crowd this room. That's how big he was. That's how much of a weight problem he had. He was huge. He was so big that one of my children was a little child, answered the door by the fahair, opened the door. Those days I used to give a fahair in my house. He opened the door to the house, and me and the Rebbetzin are in the kitchen. This is what we hear. The door opens, and we hear our young son go, wow! That wasn't the end. Wow! You're big! That's still not over. Are you that way because Hashem made you that way? Or you just eat a lot? We were in the kitchen thinking, then when I went out to say Shalom Aleichem to the bias that came, I helped. You know why a little kid had such a reaction? This guy, he came to yeshiva and he talked, he was dangerous. We used to go sometimes on a hike, forget about it. The beginning of the hike was already a hatzol. So I sat down with him. So you have to change. He said, Rebbe, I'm telling you, it's not from food. He held like my son's cash. Hashem made him that way. He said, Rebbe, I don't eat so much. I said, you do eat so much. He said, I don't eat so much. I said, do me a favor. Get a notebook, and everything that goes into your mouth, you write down. Everything. I don't care if it's a carrot, celery, whatever. Don't tell me it's low calories. Tomato, a piece of lettuce. Everything you eat, write down. He came to me, mamish, the next day. He goes, Rebbe, whew, boy, do I eat a lot. He had a sefer. In one day, we could have made two chalokim. The pshat is, if you don't identify a problem, you can't fix it. By the way, he lost weight, Baruch Hashem. He's healthy today. But if you don't identify, you can't fix a problem you don't know you have. So, and how do you know you have it? First, you have to consciously know you have it, and then you have to come to terms with it. You have to own it. You have to say kach v'kach. Then you can fix it. Thus is the issue. When the people weren't able to do that, Elyonovi said, "There's no way." I can't help people that can't identify what they're doing. Thus is the issue.